Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Join the growing crowd at Mid-Delta Online Auction. Download their app by searching Mid-Delta Auction to bid on tractors, trailers, heavy equipment, golf carts, and more. Download the app today or call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 for more details for the first Tuesday of every month auction in Greenwood.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Hey, we're glad you're our Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon. Kind of a cloudy, grayish day here in Oak Grove, Mississippi, but we're glad you're on board with us. Opening segment of the show is sponsored every day by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Today is no exception. It's a great place for dinner, and it is a great place to cater any event, whether it be large or small. That is really one of their great specialties, and they do a great job of that at Dickey's Barbecue. We're going to talk a little softball later today. Natalie Poole is the coach. Paris Ferguson is a senior player. And the ladies kick it off this weekend. So we're going to be getting to that in just a few moments. Also, later in the program, I'm going to tell you about a fundraiser for the Southern Miss Collective. But first, talk for just a minute about tomorrow. Tomorrow is a big day for Blake Anderson. News conference set for 1 o'clock. Tomorrow is signing day. And Dima Mixon, is it different than it used to be? Used to, we always really got really excited about high school signing day, but will we see more portal players signed tomorrow than high school players?
Yeah, I think they only have four or five high school signees tomorrow. You know, they added a lot, but since the early signing day was in February, they were able to add some more to that. I mean, December. So they have about 15 currently signed on roster right now. They don't expect to add to that high school signee, but they have around 32 transfers that will be signed tomorrow. So the total addition to the roster is about 51 players outside of
new players.
Yes.
But, you know, back in the old days when it was more geared toward high school signees, they would have one of the athletic facilities at Southern Miss. You could go, it'd be like over the lunch, they'd have a catered lunch that you could go in and
it was a big deal.
As each of the players signed, their name would go up on the board, and there'd be a rousing cheer that you know, you got this one in the fold. And then the coaches every year would say the same thing. Well, we like the guys that we signed, but you really won't know for another 3 or 4 years how good this class was when they finally get to break into the starting lineup. Well, 3 or 4 years, nobody stays even 2 years anymore.
Takes a phone app to keep up with a college player for 4 years now, Kelly.
That's right. As we talked about yesterday, the Central Florida basketball team, the 15-man roster, had been to 53 different schools.
Isn't that crazy? So, well, every year it seems like there's a couple of names that really jump off the board. Do you think that's the case tomorrow?
Yeah, of course. You know, you're going to have your quarterback, Ethan Hampton from Illinois, probably jumps off the board as far as, because you know that he's probably going to compete for the for the starting quarterback job. Looking at the Sun Belt, though, I can tell you where Southern Miss ranks as of now in the recruiting class ranking. So right now, App State holds number one, and they have about 27 commits total, and Southern Miss with 19 commits, which is your high school commits. So that's outside of your outside of your transfers right there. So 19 total commits there for Southern Miss, and that would rank 12th in the Sun Belt, which is just ahead of Louisiana Monroe, which is the only team below them. From the transfer portal situation for Southern Miss, they have added 32 commits there. So 32 commits. So the total class outside of from last season that's listed on 247 Sports is 51 new players. Now, their transfer portal class is fifth in the Sun Belt, and so much higher than their high school recruiting class, which makes sense because that was kind of the whole deal with Charles Huff, is what he was going to do was just go full in on the transfer portal. But I think that Blake Anderson signed more high school players than Charles Huff would have. But again, so, you know, it's still not a terrifically great Sun Belt class, but one I think Blakey's going to be able to work with. Not necessarily. I don't think really there should be a lot of expectations for next season, but hopefully within the next 2 or 3 years, they'll be back to being competitive.
The number of high school players, but doesn't that signal, guys, that maybe Coach Anderson is looking at it a little more long-term than perhaps Charles Huff was?
Yeah, I mean, they had immediate needs, right? When you lose, you know, 22 of your 22 starters in the New Orleans Bowl, every single one of them either transferred out or graduated, and then you had about 10 players behind. You had about 30 to 40 players go off the roster immediately who were all impact players in 2025. So they had to have to get some immediate needs. The problem was, since they really started kind of late, I mean, when that transfer portal window opened and Huff had left, all of really his ties where he was going to get players kind of went with him to Memphis, right? Yeah. Like, you saw the several players go to Memphis. You're like, what? You know, why did they go to Memphis? You're like, oh, those are the guys he was actually going to get to come to Southern Miss. So Blake Anderson was behind the eight ball there. That's why we talked about and we documented well back then that this is going to be the hardest transfer portal and recruiting that really any coach in probably in Southern Miss history has had to endure. And so far they've come up with 51 new players on the team, a lot of inexperience, a lot of players who don't have a lot of snaps, and I don't have the total number, but it's not a lot of players with a lot of snaps, and they're going to be kind of holding out and hoping that, you know, that inexperience will help them win in the fall. Ethan Hampton, the quarterback, though, from Illinois, he does have experience in the group of five, so that's at least good, and that's always a good start when your quarterback does have experience. He played for Northern Illinois, of course, beat Notre Dame as the quarterback for Illinois a couple seasons ago. So went to Illinois, didn't see much playing time, of course, behind Luke Altmaier, but he does have group of five experience, and like we've seen in the past, when Southern Miss teams aren't doing well, it's normally indicative of their quarterback not being great.
And that's why I want to hear what Coach Anderson has to say about Hampton. What is it about his skill set that made him so eager to get him in here? Because you're right, Dima. It doesn't matter how good the rest of the team is if you don't have a field general. And it's just not a name that's been, you know, too sexy around the country when you say this guy's coming in here. Yeah, and he did beat Notre Dame. But, you know, the list of quarterbacks that have come from, air quotes, big-time schools that have come here that just haven't materialized, Southern Miss hopes that they didn't hit a clunker with this one. And, of course, not a snap has been taken yet. So
yeah, but I would say to that, though, when you look at his stats at Northern Illinois, he played a lot of snaps. I mean, he didn't play much at Illinois. But, I mean, he threw for, you know, in 2024, 1,600 yards and 12 touchdowns at Northern Illinois in 2024. So, I mean, if you could do that at Southern Miss, you're fine with that. I mean, it's a player who has experience, who has meaningful snaps. You know, not a great completion percentage with 58.3%. But again, you know, I don't think when they, for example, like you're talking about, when they brought in Billy Wiles, he really had zero experience. Even though he was coming from Clemson, he didn't really have any group of five experience. This is a fifth-year player, and experience does matter in that regard. To your point, though, it is confusing why he went to Illinois to sit behind Luke Altmaier, and it's something I'd love to ask him. Hopefully we get to talk to him in spring football and seeing why he made that choice, whether or not it was to learn, and seeing where, you know, whether or not he's grown from, you know, sitting behind a veteran quarterback like Altmaier, or did he really think he had a chance to unseat him?
And there's not going to be a lot of time for dust or rust to collect on these guys.
No, and we did mention yesterday that Southern Miss had a scheduling addition, and that was announced yesterday. So the full non-conference schedule was released. So it's Alcorn State at Auburn, and then UConn is the team that we were referencing. That is going to be a home-and-home series, 2026 here, 2029 in Connecticut in November, which is a really weird non-con game, by the way, in November in 2029. And then at Tulane with the Fighting Will Halls.
Wow, how about that? I want to go back in the last couple of minutes we have left about the quarterback. You said he did have experience at Northern Illinois. It's fair to say, isn't it, Kelly, you probably know this league pretty good, the MAC, that's where they play. That's a pretty equivalent level of football to what they're going to play in the Sun Belt. Is that not correct?
If you talk to an unbiased person, yes, it is comparable. You know, of course, you talk to officials of either of those leagues, they'll go, oh, no.
No, but
know.
I mean, from an objective standpoint,
yes.
I think they're pretty equal.
Yes, I agree with you. I agree with you.
The difference is, though, you're going to be going from a Braylon Braxton who threw for 3,000 yards this season and 24 touchdowns to a player who sat out all of last season and, while he was at Northern Illinois and was the starter, only threw for 1,600 yards, which is half of what Braylon threw this year. So he did have experience, but I don't think that anybody should be expecting any Braylon Braxton or anything from Hampton.
It's going to be a tough season ticket sale next year.
Yeah, really,
I mean, it just is.
It's just going to be. There's just so many new players, and like I said, a lot of inexperience. And but Blake Anderson, he knows what he's looking for. Reed Stringer, GM over there, we're going to try to get him on the show soon too. And they did it. They've done it before. They've been able to reshape rosters. Blake Anderson was a part of the transfer portal with Huff last season.
Right.
So we'll see. And I don't
That's why when they chose Hampton, I want to see what was it about his skill set that had him better than other people that were available.
On a positive note, I spent some time this morning with Chris Mangum, former NFL 10-year star, who knows Blake Anderson. Coached 1 year at Southern Miss, people may not realize that, with Blake Anderson and Larry Fedora. He's very high on Anderson. He said if people will just give him time, he's confident that Blake Anderson's the right guy for the job. So we'll see. I hope so.
If people give him time, and that's something that a lot of people do not do in this day and age.
All right, when we come back, time to give softball some love. They kick off their season this week. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, need new tires for your car or truck? Nothing better than Goodyear tires, and no better place to buy them than Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West. Matt Warren runs that crew out there. They sell products, premium products. Say that 10 times real quick. Premium products from Goodyear, and they do full service auto and truck work. Their family operated since 1985. Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West, Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss guys.
You know, when those teeth aren't glued in just right, Bob. You know?
They fall around. Yeah, it makes it difficult. That's why I have a lot of apple juice in my house.
Yeah.
All right, softball kicks off this week. Kelly visited with the ladies last week. Kind of give us an overview, Kelly, and let's get into this from Coach Natalie Poole. And then the next segment, we'll hear from one of her players, Paris Ferguson.
We've talked about how these preseason polls are just for entertainment purposes and so on, but this is a team that almost relishes the fact that they were picked to finish second to last in the league. They're using this as a way to get themselves fired up. They admit that they're young. They admit that they've got some inexperience, but from an athletic standpoint, and of course every team you would expect to be confident going into the season. But as the team has come together and gelled a little bit, and as she gets closer to throwing out a starting day lineup on Friday, I had a chance to talk to Coach Poole about let's get down to business and talk really how good this team can be. So what are the reasonable expectations, Coach Poole, with such a young team?
Definitely, no matter what, no matter how young we are stepping forward and stepping up conference, like, for sure. Like, I mean, there towards the back third, we were 3-4 games out of being at the top, you know, and then we just kind of didn't finish strong. And so we have the potential to be better than that. I think that we have some athletic young kids. Even though I think we're young, I still think that there is, in some ways, more potential to do some things. They're very athletic. They're with it. You know, a couple of our kids that have transferred in have done a good job as well. And so no matter what, even though I think we're going to be young, I still think that we have the potential to position ourselves better in the conference. We really need to.
Now, you've got enough miles on the old coaching tires that you were around softball when there wasn't all this transfer portal and all this stuff going on in college athletics today. As an older person myself, I'm not sure that I like it, can't do anything about it, but how has that all of that changed you in the way that you approach your job?
Well, we definitely feel like we've had more success getting athletes from a younger age. So we are still trying to center on that. We haven't positioned ourselves well enough for us to be able to get a ton of transfers, I feel like. And so because of that, then I think our where we continue to drive at home is getting some young, talented kids and then filling a few holes when it comes to the portal. I mean, like, we probably visited about six kids who just didn't decide on us because they on their second go-round, they wanted to be closer to home. And so, like, you know, unless we find sort of the right situation, then we can spend our entire summer trying to fill a bunch of gaps. And so for us, like, if we can just try to fill a couple of spots here and there that we know we're going to need some depth in, or maybe just somebody to fill in some experience, then we're kind of going that route. And I think that over the summer, we found a couple of good kids, one in a junior college transfer in Catalina Barro, and then one in who was a freshman last year at George Mason and had a really stellar year. And she's doing a really good job here, so like really excited about that.
You talked about a JUCO player, and I know we've discussed this before, but overall, what would you give the grade for the softball programs and Mississippi high schools and JUCOs overall as far as developing talented players that are ready for this level of competition?
I definitely would say that there are some that are ready when it comes, but I think that they have to come in ready knowing that they're not there yet. Like, every one of our junior college athletes that came in, there's still a separation and there's still a difference between who we're facing every day, you know, and then sort of what they've seen. They've seen athleticism, they've seen grit, they've seen some tough athletes who've done a really good job. But then people start to have more information and nitpick your holes to death. And so they still have to kind of have that buy-in of learning more. I'm not done yet. I'm not a finished product. And then learning a new system.
Overall, if you had to choose right now, what aspect of the team is better? Your offensive side, your defensive side, and why?
I'll tell you this, like, I think that our defense has been just fine, and I think it's going to be better than what it was last year. We were fairly disappointed in the number of errors that we had, which it came down to just a couple of positions, but still. And so I think we're going to be better on that side, but I really like how we're swinging it right now. We've got some really good kids that are fighting for a way into the starting position that we probably are five or six deep that we could pull off the bench and really feel confident in that part of their game, and maybe they need a little bit more work on the other side, but we feel really solid that we've got some aggressive pieces, some people who can run some bases, some people who can get the ball out of the yard, and some kids who've got some doubles power. So just different strengths, but some good pieces there.
I think when some of softball fans looked at last year's schedule, they used adjectives like ridiculous, brutal, tough.
Yeah.
This year it seems like a little bit more favorable. Yeah. That could breed some confidence.
Yeah.
I've always thought that confidence is a underplayed aspect in a team's ability to play its best. Tell me about how you feel about confidence and where that fits in the overall puzzle.
Yeah, I think there's definitely this fine line that nobody knows exactly where it is, because last year I was definitely concerned that what we had presented to them was almost backbreaking, you know, in a way. And I will say that it did prepare us for conference. I mean, like in the early part of conference, like we cruised through it, so I wasn't really mad about that so much. But I almost feel like we never got to a place where we felt great. So in moments where we really needed to not be so fragile in confidence, we were fragile. And so it didn't take much to kind of break the back a little bit and thinking about what they were capable of doing. And so I definitely think that confidence does play a huge key role in what we do.
Well, here's to a successful 26. Should be fun. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Interesting comments there. And that is... that is kind of a quagmire. I mean, you want to play good competition because you want to toughen your team up, but if you play too much good competition, you get a little overwhelmed. You think that's why maybe she backed off the scheduling a little this year?
It would certainly make sense, and demoralizing. You know, you can sit there and think going into the year, yeah, we are pretty good. Well, you've only scrimmaged each other, right? Mm-hmm. You haven't been up against anybody else that's really throwing the ball mm-hmm. to try to keep you from hitting it, right? So I think that I think she's balanced out that schedule a little bit with this talent. But Southern Miss, like a lot of other, if we can use the term mid-majors, they're mm-hmm. going to be suffering, you know, the talent that's really good goes to greener pastures,
right,
I guess.
Next segment, we'll hear from Paris Ferguson. She's one of Coach Poole's seniors. Guys, I got to tell you, this will come as a shock to you. I was at baseball practice yesterday afternoon, and I'm interested in baseball, in case you haven't noticed it. Yeah. And I talked to a couple of players about the same situation, this really brutal schedule up front. But, Dima, I get the impression on the baseball side, they welcome it. They're not the least bit intimidated by who they're about to play.
No, no. I mean, I think for Southern Miss now, it's all about, I mean, all the teams they play respect their brand, right? So they know when they play Southern Miss, they're not going to be playing down to some opponent. Like, this is a good team and a top 25 team that you have to be ready to play every single time. And Southern Miss doesn't fear anybody they play. They can go toe-to-toe with anybody. We've seen that in the past. You think of probably the best two or three baseball teams in the country right now between, you know, UCLA, whoever you want to put in there. Mississippi State, I think, was in the top five. Like, Mississippi State comes to to Hattiesburg, and Southern Miss goes to Starkville. Like, it's nothing.
Right.
They don't really care who they play. They just want to win. And you got to give credit to Oz and Scott Berry and all these coaches who have built this program to what it is now. But
when you compare those two programs as to where the Southern Miss baseball program is and has been, really,
it's not a fair thing to compare.
Yeah, and softball's trying to get there.
That's right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
they need some of these stepping stone seasons to help build up to where baseball is.
Well, I know it was cold yesterday, but I saw a lot of good pitching. And now you two have been telling me about this kid from Pearl River. He pitched about three innings yesterday, and I'm telling you, man, he was touching 95, 76 mile an hour changeup. He looks like he's going to be a stud.
Yeah, we're really excited to see what Camden Clark could do. I think he's going to be the back end guy, basically what Colby was last season. That's kind of how I penciled him in. But it's possible he could, you know, be a starter. It's very possible. If they have maybe a double midweek or something like that. But I'm excited to see him. There's so many pitchers on that staff that they're all tremendously good. And really, all it is about for all of them is just, can they command the zone? And what is it going to be like when, you know, there's a little bit of pressure on them? And that's why Oz isn't scared to throw some of these freshmen out early in the season, because he wants to see it in them, you know, early. And that's why, you know, in these first few games, you're probably going to be like, who is this guy coming out here? And like, he's throwing a ball. Well, if he's throwing, you know, balls and walking people, he ain't going to be pitching long.
Yeah, I saw even in the scrimmage yesterday, walking people doesn't go over very well with us. Nobody seemed to be really excited when they walk.
But, you know, one thing that Ostrander, I think, has done especially well that we really haven't talked about is keeping his overall pitching staff happy. You know, getting them just enough innings to where they feel like they're a piece of the puzzle, like they're part of the family. This goes along with that culture, too. But, you know, lots of times if pitchers aren't getting enough work nowadays, they'll pack up their suitcases and leave.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Paris Ferguson. She's a senior from Pearl Land, Texas. That's some other Southern Miss conversation as the Super Talk Eagle Hour rolls along.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
DBAT, state-of-the-art training facility on Hardy Street, managed by Luke Reynolds, former Golden Eagle great. Great place to take children for baseball, softball training, adults for any type of training. Dima likes to go down and hit 100-mile-an-hour fastballs.
Likes to try to hit 100-mile-an-hour.
What are you better at, the 95-mile-an-hour fastball or the 78-mile-an-hour slider?
I don't think you can go up to 95 on those pitching machines, but I was better hitting the 80 mile an hour fastballs than I was the curveballs.
You know, when you sit close to home plate like I was yesterday afternoon, and you really get you really get the observation of how fast those kids are pitching. And, I mean, it looked like to me, Kelly, you'd have to start swinging the second it leaves their hand. I mean,
but and you're right. They're obviously very good at that level. But the other guys that are up there hitting, they're used to it. They're used to seeing stuff like that. So we're not. It's just it looks so marvelous to us because we're just not around it.
And now you're seeing somebody in high school throw a 95 to 100 in high school. That's why you're seeing an uptick in Tommy John surgeries, because you're really not supposed to be just throwing that
hard, right?
You know, it's such a focus on throwing hard. And what Oz and Leje and all them out there want to see is them throwing it in the zone.
Well, that's exactly right. MCS Home Center invites you to see them for everything you need for home construction, home remodeling, home repair. That's Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. It's a beautiful store. Big store, too. Lots of merchandise. Local folks eager to help you. MCS Home Center. We're so proud to have them part of our family. 7329 Highway 98 West. All right. As we mentioned earlier, Kelly spent some time with the softball team last week. One kid on the team, they're hoping that can have a big year, is from Pearland, Texas. She is a senior, and her name is Paris Ferguson. And here's how that conversation went.
So, Paris, you're from Texas, but not Paris, Texas.
No.
I bet people have asked that before.
Yes,
said that
they
before,
have.
Right?
Yes. Right.
So, how does a young woman of your ability come from Sugarland, Texas, and find Hattiesburg on a map, and let alone become a Golden Eagle softball player?
I would honestly have to say the coaching staff. They made it very homey here, and they reached out to me through Twitter. So Twitter was a very big thing for me during my recruiting process.
Okay, you're going to be senior year now, play a little third, a little bit of first. Describe your skill set to Eagle listeners. And I know all athletes have to be confident, or they wouldn't be playing at this level, right? So why are you somebody that needs to be in this lineup?
Well, I would say I'm very coachable, and I'm willing to do whatever it is for the team, whether that's dropping a bunt, a fly out, or even a swing and miss. I'm just doing whatever it is for the team to help get runs across that board.
You know, the people, these so-called media people, don't have a lot of expectation for you guys in the preseason poll, but I'd imagine that can be a plus too, huh?
Oh, very much so. The underdogs. Everybody loves an underdog. Everybody.
But obviously you guys feel disrespected.
Oh, for sure. Because no disrespect to the teams that were above us. I just felt like we did not need to be where we were. We don't deserve that place. I understand that some people might say, oh, well, y'all didn't show up and show out. That's not the case. When we needed to show up and show up against those hard teams, we did.
Okay, so now you're a senior. You've been on that other end of the spectrum where you were a freshman and had to kind of lean on the leadership skills of older women on the team. Well, now you're the gray beard, so to speak, right? And so how do you approach your role as a senior leader?
Honestly, I'm taking it day by day, just as everybody else here. I'm still learning because this is my first year being a senior also, so really, I'm just getting inspiration from other girls and remembering how those seniors were who were here before us and how they acted and how everybody respected them. So I'm just going off of information that was here before me.
Well, I was a senior for 3 years. I would not recommend that.
I don't think my body could handle it.
My parents weren't real happy with a third-year senior. But tell us about this team now. You said you didn't think you guys should be ranked where you were. Why? Tell us about what's good about this team and what Eagle fans should look forward to.
Well, this team is very good. We might be young, but we do not play like we're young. Once we're on that field, you will not be able to tell that there's freshmen, seniors, first-time seniors, first-year freshmen, transfers. You wouldn't be able to tell none of that. And we all just gel together very well.
Which, at this point, what's the stronger part of the team, the defense or the offensive side of the ball? Coach Poole likes the way you guys are swinging it.
Oh, yeah, we're swinging. We're putting bat to ball. Don't worry about it. I would have to say we're pretty equal. We have some arms on that pitcher mound, and then we got the defense to back it up. But then once it comes to the bat to the ball, you just got to come out and see.
Okay, so let's take the athlete hat off and put on the human being hat. Mm-hmm. This is your senior year. This is it?
Yes.
The real life, adulting, whatever you want to call it, starts in about a year. Have you had a chance to really kind of digest the fact that this is your senior year?
When I do, it's like a brick hitting a wall. It's real heavy, and I'm ready for it, but I know it's going to be real hard.
And you want to be an educator. Tell us about that.
Yes, I'm currently studying education, and I want to become an elementary teacher, and then a few years down the line, want to become a counselor for elementary.
Now, why? I'm interested in the why a few years down the line you want to be a counselor instead of right off the bat.
I want to do teaching first. That was always my thing, to go into teaching and helping the young kids develop and just being someone for them that they could talk to and open up to about things that's going on at home or anything that's going on outside of life.
You mean this world is complicated?
Yes, believe it or not.
But you know, you could coach. That's essentially a teacher.
I thought about that also, but I, don't get me wrong, I do have the tools to become a coach. That's just not something that I want to do. Maybe something as a side gig or something, but just not something for my job, like my career.
Okay, final question. You've got every Eagle fan listening right now. If you could give them that elevator speech, that 20 to 30 second fire up speech about why they need to be in the stands for Eagle softball games, what would you tell them?
You want to get turned in the stands. You want to see a good game. You want to see some girls hit some home runs, some hard balls and everything, and prove the world wrong. Come out and see Southern Miss to the top. Woo!
Sounds good for me. Well done. Thanks, Paris. Thanks very much.
All right, that's Paris Ferguson. You came back last week from spending the afternoon with those kids, and you were talking to me about how impressed you were and how delightful they were. If she's an example, I see what you're talking about.
I am always so rejuvenated when I'm around young people, not just athletes necessarily, but younger people. They haven't been jaded and soured.
Like you and I.
Yes, right. Yeah, to be specific.
They're still optimistic like Dima.
Yes, they still think the world is a nice place with good people.
And so, give it time.
Yeah, that's right. No, they are taking the projections that have been placed upon them lightly, and again turning them around to make it a positive. And she's going to play maybe some third, maybe some first, which is really interesting, because when you compare softball to baseball, a guy playing first base in baseball really can't play third base. It's just generally not mobile enough, right? But in softball, that doesn't seem to be a problem, being able to play the hot corner or play first base. And I expect with her leadership, and she just brightens up a room when she comes in. She's just a delightful young lady, and I wish her nothing but success this season.
Dave, it's a really young team. Is that going to catch up with them, you think?
No, I don't think so. And I think that's why that's good that their schedule to start off, is pretty favorable. They're going to be able to get a lot of confidence-based wins. And we really haven't seen the softball team under Natalie Poole with really a strong sense of confidence heading into the conference schedule. And I think that's going to be important. They are a young team, yes, but they do have some great returning pitchers. Both of their top pitchers from last season are back on the team. Cross Sibley's wife is on the team. She's back after a year off. They do have a young team, but there are enough pieces in that team that are veteran players, are experienced players, that I think it won't matter in the long run. And especially when you think when that youngness comes into play in the early games, you're not going up against the Arkansas, the Penn States, the LSUs, the Ole Misses like they were last year. You know, you're going up against the Radfords. You're going up against the – which, I mean, to their no disrespect to those schools, but they're not Arkansas, Penn State, LSU.
And if we can compare it to football, pitchers on the softball diamond are very much like quarterbacks on the football field. If you don't have pitchers, if you don't have some good – pitchers with a relatively deep staff, and Southern Miss probably goes three deep. Those pitchers lots of times can throw about every game.
I would say that pitching and slow pitch softball is probably even more important than quarterbacking in the NFL. If you don't have pitchers in softball, you don't have a chance of winning anything.
Even though I don't think slow pitch exists anymore at the collegiate or high school level.
No, I'm saying fast pitch softball. Oh. Fast pitch softball, if you don't have pitchers.
You said slow pitch, but
fast pitch softball is dominated
for
by
sure.
pitchers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what's crazy is, you know, we were talking about the Southern Miss baseball pitching staff. You know, they got 26 pitchers or something like that. They'll probably run four or five pitchers the whole season for softball, and they'll be able to pitch, like Kelly said, almost every game.
All right, when do they open?
Friday.
This Friday, Southeast
Friday night,
Missouri 4:30 State.
4:30 first pitch, I believe.
Well, good for them. We wish them nothing but the best of luck. We have some more softball kids that we have captured interviews with, and we'll bring those over the next few days, as well as some baseball interviews that we got late last night.
Yeah, coming up on the show, Bob, we're going to be talking with Mary Ryan Brown, who is a young lady from Hattiesburg. Mary Ryan Carnes, I think. Did I say Carnes, didn't I? Maybe I said Brown. Yeah, but she's got Mary Ryan Carnes, who is a stand-up comic and doing very, very well. She's going to...
See, your dentures are giving you some
problems. Yeah, my teeth are giving me problems now. But she's going to be here...
He lost his train of thought while he was talking.
My train of thought got derailed. But she's going to be here to talk about a fundraiser that she's doing for the Collective this coming Saturday at the Hattiesburg Country Club. Comedian Mary Ryan Carnes coming up next on the Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
The Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Forest Health reminds you to keep up with your favorite team. That's fun, but take care of the most important player on your team, and that's you. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you. Expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. Thank our friends at Genesis of Hattiesburg and Mo Babinier Company for their sponsorship of our program. You can, of course, buy beautiful cars and SUVs at Genesis of Hattiesburg and enjoy good desserts at Mo Babe and Jay. Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast, it's up every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, where you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. No news and notes today, but we wanted to bring another guest onto the program. And her name is Mary Ryan Brown, and she is a Southern Miss graduate with a real family lineage to Southern Miss and is a stand-up comedian that will actually be performing at a brunch Saturday at the Hattiesburg Country Club, and it's all to raise money for the Southern Miss Athletic Collective. And Miss Brown, welcome to the show. I can't begin to tell you, interesting to have a comedian on the show, how many horrible, terrible jokes Dima and I are subjected to every week in this studio by Kelly Santer. So it's refreshing to have a real comedian on the show for a change.
One that makes a living.
I don't know what you're talking about. Kelly Santer is one of my comedic inspirations.
Oh, my.
Oh, my word.
Every time I get on stage, I actually channel the spirit of Kelly Santer.
That's freaky.
I think we're going to have to cut this interview a little short.
If people heard that when the mics are off in between breaks, the things Kelly said and what he said today.
You wouldn't channel him anymore, believe me.
I wouldn't
Mary
channel
Ryan.
Him anymore.
No. And Mary Ryan, I want to back up and pay tribute to your grandmother, Dr. Frances Carnes. You were a Carnes before you married into the Brown family. And Dr. Frances Carnes started the Gifted Studies program at Southern Miss. The Carnes name is synonymous with Southern Miss. And so proud of what you're doing on the comedy circuit now. You are getting ready to embark upon a national tour. And this Saturday, the brunch to help the collective. It will raise money for the collective. But also, people, stand-up comedians kind of use events like this to kind of hone not only their craft, but their line of jokes and things that work and don't work, right?
That's correct. I mean, at the end of the day, Kelly, it is all about me. So, yes, I am using this fundraising event to get ready for my tour, to launch the tour, and also to use the audience as guinea pigs and see what jokes work and what jokes don't work. And I'm excited to be sharing the stage with Mayor Toby Barker and Dr. Joe Paul, who are going to host and open the show. And then we'll have music from DJ Cujo as well. So it's a really, really fun group of people. I can't believe that this is the favor I decided to call on from the mayor and the president of the university, but it is, and I'm so excited to be doing it.
I've seen some of your social media posts, and you certainly got guts because you hammered Joe Paul for his lack of height, shall we say.
Is he short? I've never noticed that.
But you've written jokes about both him and the mayor.
That's correct. They'll live. They're very confident in who they are.
I wish that was something that people, you know, used in today's society. There's a joke about you. You'll live. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't have to sue everybody.
Exactly. Ms. Brand, to be roasted is to be loved.
That's right.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, Mr. Kelly. I just wanted to thank you for speaking so kindly of my grandmother, Dr. Frances Carnes. She was truly a fearless woman, and she was invested in service her entire life. She was brave because she knew she had a job to do, and she knew that the children in this state and all across the country needed resources to help grow and develop their talents and their gifts. And so she did not stop until the job was done. And people tell me that I'm brave for making jokes about the mayor, but the truth is she's the brave one. She gave me the blueprint, and I'm allowed to be silly and fun and, you know, to be a wife and a mom and a working woman because I saw that displayed in my grandmother. So she really paved the way for me and so many others to be fearless.
Ms. Brown, about a minute left, and we'll plug the event again real quickly. But as a comedian, does it bother you how, and I don't want to use this term too generally, but young people, college age kids, seem to have very little sense of humor and seem to be offended by most anything said?
I've been asked that a lot. I think that's a wonderful question. I think the pendulum is swinging the other way, and I think that we're learning to laugh in the face of absurdity. I think people were very buttoned up and self-righteous and interested in signaling virtue for a long time, but now I think we're realizing that laughter is the only thing that's going to keep us together, and Good. It's the only thing that's going to help Good. Us survive.
All right, look, before we plug it one more time, we're about out of time. Can you provide Kelly with some fresh jokes, please? Because we hear the same jokes over and over.
I cannot. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
You notice how he only books guests that get along with him.
That promote him and puff him right. up. Oh, I've noticed. Do you think I've noticed that? My word, yeah.
Well, the event is Saturday at 10 a.m. It's a To the Top brunch, the Hattiesburg Country Club. Where do people get tickets, Mary Ryan?
They can get tickets at tothetopcollective.com/events. And they can also find tickets in the link in my bio on my Instagram at Mary Ryan Brown.
Thank you very much for coming on our show. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you all so much for having me. I'm in the Kelly Sander cult forever.
Oh, gosh.
See, smart girl. Oh, smart girl.
Oh, that's two words that are scary. Kelly Sander cult.
Enough of that. Enough of that. I don't think I can hear that much more.
It's a good thing you guys had an early lunch, huh?
Yeah, but my stomach is rolling just a little bit after that, Kelly.
The Kelly Sander cult.
Oh, my God. All right, back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
The Kelly Sander cult.
Yes, I know. Thank you for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.